I have a question for you. Are you going out to the ends of the earth today through some gospel witness, a missionary who goes out in person, or a radio program? Are you personally involved in getting the Word of God out? That is the important thing.
Dr. McGee asked it years ago, and I'm going to ask it again today. Are you personally involved in getting the Word of God to the world? Welcome to our new study today in the book of Acts on Through the Bible. Now, if you've been on the Bible bus for long, you know that our mission together is to take the whole Word to the whole world. It's a huge privilege, isn't it? And it's a privilege that we share as we stand in partnership, both in prayer and financial support. Your prayers have done more for this daily program than we can know this side of heaven. And what a party it'll be when we're in heaven understanding the impact. We're convinced that this is really true, so we also know that God loves the cheerful giver to this ministry, and we read about it almost every day in your letters. It's such a joy to be all in praying for and financially supporting what God's doing. And we all say it in a fun way that we're putting gas in the Bible bus, or maybe we're paying for an oil change or a new set of tires, but really this is very serious and very joyful work that we're doing here, embracing this opportunity. So now I say we because I too am a volunteer and supporter of this ministry. I have been for decades. And if you haven't already embraced it, but the mission is one that you can get your heart around, then you need to join us. First, you can sign up for our world prayer team by going to ttb.org/pray and get a daily email. We go around the world systematically praying for the different regions of the world and how Through the Bible is impacting those areas. And as the Lord provides for you, we'd ask you to be a financial partner with us. Think about investing in the two things that will last forever, God's book and God's people. The number to give is 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can always visit us at ttb.org/give anytime. Now, by the way, did you know that Through the Bible can be heard in over 200 languages throughout the world now? And many of those programs are available on our global app. This is a great resource for anyone who has a heart language that's something other than English. So why don't you check out the many different languages and then tell someone that you know who may never have heard the good news in a way that speaks to them. Find the global app at ttb.org/listen or your app store. On the Bible bus, we've just begun our travels through the book of Acts. And today, we'll witness the final words of Jesus as he ascends to heaven in a cloud. Man, what a scene that must have been. And it's a topic that we're talking about, taking the whole word to the whole world. Jesus outlines a plan that we're following today. We'll begin in chapter 1, verse 3. Let's pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, would you fill us with the power of your Spirit that we may see new and marvelous things from your word? And then use your Spirit to teach us great truths and inspire us with ideas and commitment to take your word to the world. This is all because of Jesus, and so it is in his name that we ask this. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we saw that the book of Acts continues what the Gospels had begun. And I think the most remarkable thing, that Matthew concludes with the resurrection, Acts 1 has it. Mark concludes with the ascension, Acts 1 has it. Luke concludes with the promise of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1 has it. And John concludes with the promise of the second coming, and Acts 1 has it. It's all in Acts 1. And now we're in this chapter here, and we've attempted to label this chapter the preparation for the coming of the Spirit. Now we saw here in verse 3, and by the way, the first four verses are all one sentence, but let me break in that verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, the three-year ministry of the Lord Jesus for you and me is not as vital, not as important as the 40-day ministry. And so we have here the post-resurrection ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, will you note verse 4? And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now they are to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. and they are to wait until that takes place. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now I want to call your attention to something that is very important here. He appears to them now with these instructions, and he says that the thing that's going to take place is that you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now, may I say here that the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit, and there are two baptisms that I think that I ought to call your attention to. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, water baptism is ritual baptism, and I believe in it. The Holy Spirit is real baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you read in chapter 2 of the book of Acts of the day of Pentecost, you'll find out there's no mention of them being baptized. The mention there is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The important thing is the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit for experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we shall see, is what puts you in the body of believers. It puts you in the body of believers, the church. And that's the reason we're going to see in chapter 2 what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came to do what? Put them in the body of believers. Now, in order that they might serve, we're told in Acts 2 they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that, of course, means that the other ministries of the Holy Spirit were performed. And that I consider very important indeed. And we need to, I think, notice that. Now, I want to move on in this particular section here because we're going to emphasize all of this when we come to it in chapter 2. Now, will you notice in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Acts, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, you will find that some of the commentators rebuke the apostles for asking this question. And they feel like that they made a mistake in asking the question. Now, I believe that the answer our Lord gave indicates they made no mistake. Their question was a legitimate question and a natural question, and one that our Lord answered like that. He did not rebuke them. He never told them it was a foolish question. You see, they were brought up and schooled in the Old Testament. They were told that the Messiah is coming, that the Messiah is the one who will establish the kingdom upon this earth. That's the earthly hope, still is an earthly hope. God is not through with this earth. He doesn't intend to sweep this earth under the rug, although it's small enough to be swept under his rug. But he's not going to do that. He has an eternal purpose, and the kingdom of God that they talked about actually is the fact of the reestablishment of the house of David. And that was the thing that he talked to them about during those 40 days. He's the one that talked to them. He let them know that at this particular time, the kingdom would not be established, that he's now going to call out people to his name, the church. And that was the thing that these men, when they met in the first council of Jerusalem in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, why you'll find out that when they came together, why that after discussion, James said this, that after this, he says, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I'll set it up. But what's he doing today? Well, today he's visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people to his name. And so today God is calling out of the world a people to his name. And when they trust Christ, they're baptized into the body of believers, the church. That is the important thing today. Therefore, when they wanted to talk about, will you restore at this time the kingdom to Israel? Notice what our Lord said. He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. This is not the subject of discussion right now. And I want to say this to you, friends, it's not the subject of discussion today of the times. Now, there are a great many people say to me, don't you think that the Lord will be coming soon? Well, now, I'll let you in on something. This is confidential between you and me. I believe he's coming soon. Somebody says, well, then you are dealing with this question then of the soon coming of Christ. Oh, no, I privately believe that. But I don't have any right to get on this radio and tell you that he's coming soon, because I don't know. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons, friends. That part is not the important part. What's our business today? Now notice, our Lord doesn't rebuke them. He says, I've got something else in mind. There's something else for us to do. I believe today in prophecy. But I think you can go to seed in prophecy and you can overemphasize it today. And I don't think it'll build you up in the faith if you spend all your time in prophetic study. Now, this is a glorious, wonderful thing. He says to them, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons. The Father's put them in his own power. Now, listen, here is your commission, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, there are several things I want to say about this. This is the commission that holds good for today. This is a commission that's not given to the church. You say, you don't mean that. I do mean that. I mean, as a corporate body, this is not a corporate commission given to the church as a body. This is given to these men personally, privately, a few days before the Holy Spirit came and formed the church. And it's a personal command to each believer. Now, this is what I mean. He didn't say to your church to go to the ends of the earth or to preach the gospel in your community. Now, that may be a little strange to some of you today. You know who he said it to? He said it to you. He said it to me. That's our business, to get the Word of God out today. Now, somebody says, but don't we do it through the church? Right. But, you see, I can't go to the church, any church that I've ever served, and say, look what I have done. Our church has so many missionaries. Our church is taking the gospel out. Our church had so many saved last Sunday. I have a question for you. Are you going out to the ends of the earth today through some gospel witness, a missionary who goes out in person, or a radio program? Are you personally involved in getting the Word of God out? That's the important thing. You see, there are a great many people who want to talk about the times and seasons of his coming, but they don't want you to talk even on the radio about the fact you and I to get involved in getting the Word of God out today. That's the thing that he's talking to these men about, and he's still talking to you and me today, friends. I'm of the opinion if the Lord Jesus right now came in where I am or where you are, and he'd say, now, I don't want to talk to you about the time I'm coming. I want to talk to you about getting the gospel out, to get people saved. That is the important thing. Ye shall receive power. Now, we need power for this, and we need the leading of the Lord. I want to say this and say it to the glory of God. I have never felt in my entire ministry the definite leading of God as I have in this radio ministry. Never of any church I ever served did I feel the direct leading. And I want to say to you, I've always felt led to every church I've gone to and felt like that my ministry there was a ministry that the Spirit of God had something to do with it. Now, may I say to you, friends, it's our business today. Now, he says you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, there's no power in us. There's no power today in a church. The power is the Holy Spirit, and the question is the Holy Spirit able to move through an individual? Is he able to move through a church? Is he able to move through a radio program? That is the profound question of the hour, friends, and that's all important. Now, ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, ye shall be witnesses unto me, that is, unto Christ, and both in Jerusalem. That's hometown, that's your neighborhood, and in all Judea, that's out in your community, and in Samaria. And Samaria is the other side of the railroad track, the folk we don't associate with. Now, wait just a minute. I didn't say you should associate with them. I say this, you better take the gospel to them. Our responsibility is to get the word of God out. You can't associate with everybody. You pick your friends. Everybody does that. That's part of the freedom we have. There's nothing wrong with that. I can well understand there are a great many folk that would not want to associate with me, not want me around. I think I would crimp the style of some of the saints today, to tell the truth. But be that as it may, we have a right, but we do have the responsibility of getting the word out to these and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we ought never to lose sight of the fact that it is the Lord's intention. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandment to you and to me is personal, not to the church. Don't try to pass this off on the crowd, friends, and say, my church does this. What are you doing? That is the important thing. How much are you and I involved today in this? Now will you notice verse 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, the ascension is an important and significant miracle in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And it's especially, I think, true in a space age with eyes that are turned aloft today, and we talk about traveling in space. That's not new. The Lord Jesus took off. He didn't need a launching pad, nor did he need a space suit. He didn't go off in a missile, but there was, we're told, a cloud received him. What kind of cloud? A moisture cloud? No, it wasn't a cloud with moisture in it. It was a cloud, means the Shekinah glory cloud that filled the tabernacle and that which he prayed for in his high priestly prayer in John 17:5, when he made this statement, you remember, glorify thou me with thy glory that I had with thee before the foundation of the world. When he was born into this world, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. When he left this earth, they wrapped him in glory clouds, my friend. That's what we're talking about here. And these men, will you notice them? While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, the witness of the two angels who appeared as men. And notice what they say here. They say to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, and that means the glorified Jesus, he'll return to the earth to the same place. His feet, Zechariah says in Zechariah 14:4, shall touch down at the Mount of Olives. He took off at that place. He'll come back at that place. Why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And that's not very far, by the way. A Sabbath day's journey kept people pretty much in their location. That's the reason that they all came to Jerusalem at the feast days to worship. And they camped very close to the temple. I think the Mount of Olives were probably covered with people camping out, probably several hundred thousand during the Feast of Passover and the other feasts. Why? They stayed in a Sabbath day's journey of the temple. Now, verse 13, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Now, these all continued with one accord in prayer. Now, notice that. They continued with one accord and in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I rejoice that she was there. Now, I tell you, she's cleared now. He was virgin born. That was for sure. Now, the attitude of the apostles and believers is that of oneness and of prayer and waiting. This period, by the way, now cannot be duplicated today. Remember, you're in a time period, in a time capsule between his ascension into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. You never could have that duplicated today. We're not in that period. The Holy Spirit has already come in our day, by the way. Now will you notice, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120 men and brethren. Now here's Simon Peter, and here he's speaking up again. This is before Pentecost, and when you hear Simon Peter speaking here, I have the feeling, my, I sure hope and pray the Holy Spirit will get here, because this man really needs a filling of the Spirit, and so do you and so do I, for that matter. Now notice, he stands up and he says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's a very vivid picture, is it not? It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue a Keldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now the question always arises, what about Judas here? Did this man that Simon Peter holds an election for, is he the one that is the one that is to take the place? I don't think so myself. And now let me read verse 21. Wherefore of these men which accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Now, the election, I think, to choose a successor to Judas Iscariot is conducted by Peter without the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hadn't come yet, friends. Mattathias was evidently a good man. He met the requirements of an apostle. And we're told here that he was the one. And they chose one who from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now that was the requirement of an apostle. He must have seen the resurrected Christ. Now they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. Now, I can't see that God's leading this. They're casting lots. The lot fell upon Matthias. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, the question is he the one that took Judas's place? I do not think so. Next time, we'll give you our reason. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Did Matthias take Judas' place? Well, we'll hear Dr. McGee's interesting answer next time. We'll be in Acts chapter 2, so join me in reading ahead through the end of that chapter. And we all, I know, myself personally especially, get so much more out of each lesson when we do read ahead. So stay on track, refer to your bookmark schedule, which is sent out with the monthly newsletter, or sign up for the mailing list on ttb.org, or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, today's study really fires me up to take the whole Word of God to the whole world. And together, we're literally going to the uttermost parts of the earth, just like Jesus told us to, where millions have never heard the name of Christ before. If you want to find out more about how you can partner with us, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, or visit ttb.org, where you'll find so many free resources that you can download and share the good news with others yourself. A great place to start is by clicking on How Can I Know God? It's a banner at the top of the site. There are some great messages from Dr. McGee, and some booklets that explain what it means to have a relationship with God and then how much He loves each one of us. That's so important to remember. Again, that's ttb.org. Or if you got a few resources that you want sent by mail, just write to us. Email BibleBus@ttb.org. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, and you know I'm going to save a seat on the Bible bus for you. And when we return next time, we're going to continue our journey through the whole Word of God.
Jesus came in home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.